on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Tuesday to you. Hope you're having a good day. I bet some of you are hurting right about now. Some of you more so than others, but nobody more so than Ritt. I will get to all of that a little bit later on. The old man is playing hurt. All right, welcome to the program. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Then Rocket can. Really good show for you today. Let's get right at it. Let me start you off with the telephone number. I've got two interviews that go at 9:40 and 10 o'clock, so you know how that goes. We've done this before. We will go back to back, but in the meantime, you can get in here before that happens. Phone number is 1-800-636-8686. If you have any thoughts at all, coming off that championship game last night, now is the time to call with them. Interview starting at 9:40. Get in 1-800-636-8686. Or if you want to hit me up on social media, you know you can do that. Hit me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up at 9:40 or 12:40 Eastern Time, a college football reporter for The Athletic, Andy Staples. Top of hour number two, Steelers, still very much alive. A tight end for the Steelers, Pat Freiermuth. Steeler fan loves him, understandably so. That's coming up, top of hour number two. Another legend coming up in hour number three. Rams offensive lineman and icon, Andrew Whitworth. He's going to help me close the program. That's coming up at 11:40. So lots of opportunities for you to get through. Use the number. Take advantage of it. Got to update you on Ritt, man. My man's playing hurt. I see him walking in today, and he is limping something fierce. Freaking, I'm like, dude, did you play in that championship game last night? What happened? He's hurting. We'll get the update. Cool. In fact, I may have him on to discuss what happened, because at least it was a warrior injury. If you're going to get hurt doing something you love. What do you think he did? How do you think he got hurt? Go ahead. Hit me up. If I were to ask you if Ritt is all banged up, and he is, how do you think it happened? What do you think he did? 1-800-636-8686. And again, hit me up on Twitter with that, at Jim Rome. And credit to Pops. He's here. He didn't call in sick. He didn't call in hurt. He's game still on. Here. Game on. All right, bring let's it get on. It. Bring it on. Game on.
Bring it on.
He didn't go belly up. So, how do you celebrate Georgia's first national championship in 41 years? You celebrate it with this.
There's going to be some property torn up in Indianapolis tonight, baby!
Yeah, baby! Shout out to Kirby Smart. Shout out to Kirby Smart for shouting out to Larry Munson. Shout out to the Georgia Bulldogs for winning the national title and for making it worth our while in the second half of that game, because I was concerned for quite some time. In the first half, that game was a complete slog. Like, it might have been pretty well played. It was. It just wasn't a hell of a lot of fun. Not much juice or adrenaline in a kicking competition. Am I right? Before halftime, the most interesting part of the evening, the most interesting part of the game, was Andrew Luck showing up before that game. And Andrew Luck, of course, immediately getting punked on Twitter for his look. You know, I don't want to be this guy. I hate to be the cooler. I hate to be the buzzkill. I hate to be the guy to break up your party, losers.
Loser.
But don't you all have something better to do? Don't you all have anything better to do? Seriously, don't you have something better to do than clown some dude who looks happy and fit? You're clowning a dude for being fit and happy. It makes you sound fat and miserable. Yeah, I know. I know. What about that stash, Rome? What about it? The hell you care about a dude's stash when there's probably a very good chance you're rocking a porn stash of your own? And yes, I did see dude rocking a polo shirt under a jacket that he may have borrowed from Goodwill. What's your point? That he's a nerd? That he can't dress?
Nerd!
Right. Now tell me something I didn't already know. And I can all but guarantee he's still rocking a flip phone too. Dude is a football icon, not a fashion icon. I mean, you Twitter gangsters really are the best. You kill this guy for being fit and trim. And I sure as hell know you'd be killing this guy if you put on a pound or two from his playing days. Then you'd be all over him, glossing him Andrew Chunk. So what the hell is this guy supposed to do? What is anybody supposed to do if you're all lying in wait, ready to kill them for their weight, regardless of how much they actually weigh? You kill them if they gain a pound or two, and you kill them if they lose a pound or two. Yeah, because all of you look like Dadonis.
He looks like
yourselves.
A Dadonis.
Y'all look like Dadonises.
He looks like a Dadonis.
Look, I know some of you have nothing better to do but to rush to Twitter to go in on anyone and anything. But what I'm saying is you really should find something better to do. He did, and he's wearing it pretty well. Even if it does look like he picked that fit up from a thrift store. Who cares? Like, the dude's happy, man. He's trim. He's fit. Now that I got that out of the way and I addressed that, do you mind? Can we talk about the game? Can we talk about the matchup? Because it is a game worth talking about from the very first snap. Although it was a kicking competition in the first half. From the first snap, you could see that was a game that was going to be played with speed and power and violence. You know, if you watch that game, it's pretty easy to see that the SEC is just different. You know, they walk around and they carry themselves like that and they act like that. And there's an arrogance that comes along with it, but understandably so. The SEC is different. They act different because they are different. Well, at least the SEC at the top level. I'm not really looking to hear from Texas A&M and Mizzou fans claiming that they got a part of that national championship last night because they didn't. The SEC didn't win that title. Georgia did, and they deserve it because they got their asses kicked in the SEC title game by Alabama. Perform. So they got their asses kicked by Alabama less than 40 days ago. They were run off the field. They were humiliated. They were embarrassed. And they should have been. But what did they do with that? They went to work. They came back 5 weeks later. They turned the tables on the tide. But it certainly did not look like that was going to happen. Not after Bama pulled off the most casual fumble recovery in football history.
Snap back to Bennett, being chased out of the pocket, rolling to the near Bennett. Side. They'll sack him as he throws, and the ball out of his hands is going to bounce at the 15-yard line and go out of bounds.
The ruling on the field is a fumble recovered by the defense. Wow. First down, Alabama.
Holy smokes.
That is...
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
It's one of the worst calls I think I have ever seen.
Holy smokes.
Unbelievable.
Learfield Radio.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, you might call that one of the worst calls you've ever seen, but how about my man? How mellow and relaxed and nonchalant he was on that fumble recovery. Like, you see that ball in that situation. In that game, you're supposed to be diving all over it. He went for it like he was picking up a loaf of bread at a store. Like the most casual fumble recovery ever. Maybe to the point of being accidental. However, if you're a Georgia fan, you had to be thinking, oh, dang, here we go again. 40 years of this. Because four plays later, the Tide punched that in, and they took a five-point lead with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. If you're a Georgia fan, you had to be fearing the absolute worst. And for a moment, it looked like that was going to be the turning point in the game. In fact, it was actually, just not for Alabama, because Georgia took that play and they used it as fuel. Shout out to Stetson Bennett. Correction. Shout out to Stetson Fleming Bennett the fourth, because he's getting the full government after that game last night. Man, this dude is stone cold. Ice cold. He was more clutch than Bryce Young, and Bryce Young is about as cool a customer and as clutch a guy as they come. A guy like Stetson Bennett the fourth, as awesome as that name is not supposed to be in that spot. You know his story by now. That story of him being a walk-on is absolutely absurd. So if that guy actually gets into that game and makes a play like that in that situation, he is supposed to fall apart. He's supposed to crumble. If that particular guy fumbles in the fourth quarter of a national championship game, there's no doubt he's going right into the tank, right? That's not what this dude did. In fact, he came right back. He led Georgia on a massive drive to retake that lead, capping it off with this dime.
So it's second down and long for the Dogs. Second down and 18 from the Alabama 40. Bennett unloads, deep ball, flagged down, going to the end zone. A.D. Mitchell fights. He makes the catch. Yeah, touchdown in the right corner, but check a flag back at the line of scrimmage. 40-yard touchdown strike. Bennett to A.D. Mitchell.
Hell of a throw. He got Alabama to jump. Had that free play, dropped that dime, and reacted like nothing happened. I mean, threw one of the best passes you're ever going to see in an enormous situation, and the guy barely moves. Like, no smile, didn't even change expression. He's like a cyborg, this guy. 40-yard TD pass, beating almost perfect coverage, and the guy nods once or twice, and then just moves on to the next play. The Dogs' defense got another stop, and then the Borg went back to work.
Play fake to Cook, throw it out to the left side. Bowers makes the catch at the 15. He's going to score, but a flag is down. Flag down back at the 20. Bowers scored on the play. Well, we got to check the flag again.
Personal foul, roughing the passer, number 9. Defense, the result of the play is a touchdown. That 15-yard penalty will be carried over to the ensuing kickoff.
So again, as good as that TD was, Bennett's reaction to me was even better. Again, the guy's not celebrating. He's telling the sideline, look, it's fine. There's a penalty on the play. We're not done yet. Job not done. There's still work to do. I couldn't be more impressed. So he's leading his team back in the fourth quarter of a national championship game against their rival, and the guy's barely breathing. Total flatline. This is a guy also who had been doubted every step of the way. Again, you know that story. Every step of the way, including and especially after the SEC championship game where he and they got buried. If anybody should have been doing the Connor billionaire strut around the turf last night, it was Stetson Bennett the fourth, but he barely celebrated it all during the game. But I'll tell you who was celebrating. Kirby Paul Smart. Did you catch this guy's vert on that pick six to ice it? Because if you didn't, you should. My man can get up now.
Snap to Young. Drops back. Pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline. And it's intercepted. Intercepted. Keely Ringo at the 21. Off he goes. 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Near sideline. Breaks the tackle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. 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 Georgia. Let the celebration begin.
I'm not sure what was better, the pick six or Kirby's celebration. Actually, I do know. Kirby's celebration. I understand why this guy's up in here flossing with that incredible middle-aged vert. An enormous win for him and for Georgia. They have been waiting for decades for that moment, and he delivered. He got over on his old boss, and he took an enormous weight off himself, the program, and all of Dog Nation. Pretty wild to be talking about a national championship game and not talk about Nick Saban. So let me take a moment and do that right here. Don't bury this guy. Do not bury this guy after that game. Yes, they lost the national championship game, but he took them to a national championship game with arguably his weakest team in a decade. And they had not one, but two brutal injuries to wide receivers in the last 5 weeks, and they still had a look at it. They still had a lead in the fourth quarter. Trust me, Saban is not going anywhere. Knowing this guy, he's already hit the recruiting trail, and he's going to double down. This is not the end of Saban. It might be the start of something, the start of a new chapter in Saban and Smart, but it's not the end. So, shout out to Georgia, shout out to Kirby Smart, shout out to Stetson Fleming Bennett the fourth, and a shout out to all the property that did get torn up in Indy last night, baby.
There's going to be some property torn up in Indianapolis tonight, baby!
Yeah, baby! For most of the game, I thought, this game is pretty awful, baby! The only thing we're going to talk about on my show, I'm thinking this when I'm watching that game last night, the only thing we'll be talking about on the show for 3 hours is Andrew Luck's look, baby!
Baby!
Just 3 hours of crap. 3 hour barrage of Andrew tummy tuck tweets. Or why is Andrew rocking Grandpa Joe's mustache emails?
Don't worry, he can't drink at all.
Never mind Indianapolis. I myself would have torn this studio up this morning.
Baby!
Luckily, it's not coming to that. Georgia got theirs. Georgia got over. Let's talk about it. 1-800-636-8686. Andy Staples will be joining me at 940, and we will talk to him about that. Got to talk more about Black Monday. Now we're into Tuesday. Not only does Joe Judge, man, I'm telling you, the brass set on this dude. Not only does he still have a job, this guy wants a say, reportedly, in who the new GM is going to be. I mean, I don't even know where to start with that. The guy's just trolling us all now, right? There's no way even that guy, as out of touch as Joe Judge is, as myopic as Joe Judge is, as falsely arrogant as Joe Judge is. I mean, he's trying to get fired, right? You imagine this guy being the luckiest guy in the history of the world to still have a job, and that's still not being enough for him. That when ownership comes to him and says, you know what, Joe? We know that everybody in the world thinks that you should be fired, and they're probably all right. But we're not going to fire you. However, we need to make some changes. Can't you just see Judge pushing back and saying, all right, I'm open to that. But first, you need to hear what I want. And apparently he wants a say in who his new boss is going to be. I mean, I would say that's the most hilarious thing ever, but it's just, it's so offensive. I mean, damn, Judge, really? Got an update on the Bears. They may have just outjudged even themselves. Another bad day for the Bears. And I actually want to talk about the Texans, believe it or not, and David Culley and the fact that they're letting this guy twist. I mean, again, who really gives a damn about the Texans? But I can't help but look at that situation, too, and how badly they're handling it. But then again, they are the Texans. And I am a little kind of concerned about the old guy in the back row. Him gimping around this morning, dragging his leg. I'm like, my God, Rick, did you get hit by a car on the way in and dragged? It sure seemed like it. Were you shot? Yet he's here. He's playing through it. I got a feeling he's got a burning slug in his leg the way he's dragging that back leg. But he's still here. Got to find out what happened to him. I've got Andy Staples coming up at 40 past. Pat Freiermuth, top of hour two. Andrew Whitworth coming up in hour number three. And a couple of phone lines that are open. And your early reaction, all still ahead. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Use that phone number, 1-800-636-8686.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
So Saturday, NFL wildcard weekend is kicking off with two big games on CBS. Saturday night, 8:15 Eastern, 5:15 Pacific, prime time. Pats heading to Buffalo to take on the Bills. Cannot wait for that. Get set for kickoff at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific with the NFL today. Then Sunday, 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific. An enormous matchup in Dallas. San Francisco paying a visit to Dak and the Cowboys. Two great playoff games on back-to-back days. Super wild card weekend. Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, only on CBS. One thing about that. You might be looking ahead to Big Head Bets on Friday. Good. You should. However, here's what you need to know. I'm taking it off air and putting it online. Programming note. Instead of our normal routine Friday Big Head Bets segment with James Kelly, I'm going to turn it into a pod. The Jim Rome Podcast is an extended Big Head Bets. So that's going to be part of our podcast. We're going to push it out on Friday. Normally, we have the Jim Rome Podcast on Wednesday, but this time it's going to be on Friday because it's an extended version of Big Head Bets. So don't come looking for that here on the program Friday. We're not having it on Friday. Every once in a while, I will take it off air and move it to the pod. This is one of those weeks. So that's coming up on Friday. Big, big weekend. This guy hits on something that I was going to reference also myself. Hey, Rome, Colts fan. I would take a mustached 140-pound geology teacher looking Andy Luck over Carson Wentz any day of the week. I will never forgive Ryan Grigson for ruining Luck's career. War Andrew Luck. Chad from Orlando. See, that's the other thing. There's two things here. Number one, losers who have nothing better to do but to rush to Twitter to clown other people for how they look. That's point number one. Again, don't you have anything better to do? Number two, Colts fan, don't tell me that every last one of you wouldn't take that, quote, 140-pound geology teacher-looking Andy Luck this weekend in the playoffs over what you currently have. Oh, that's right, you're not in the playoffs. You couldn't beat Jacksonville to get in. Don't tell me you wouldn't take that guy over Carson Wentz if you were playing tomorrow. You know you would. We all would. Like, what did this guy do wrong? He was unhappy playing the game. He was unhappy constantly being in pain. He was unhappy getting the crap beat out of him on the regular. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm looking at that guy last night and I'm thinking to myself, he looks pretty damn happy. And he looks fit. Yeah, in terms of the actual fit, what do you expect? It's Andrew Luck. How did you expect that guy to show up? Dressed in David August gear? Hell no. What's next? Was he going to show up with an iPhone 13 Pro Max? Man, stop. It's Andrew Luck. He's a nerd. Class guy, good dude. And by the way, living his best life. And if the highlight of your day or week is getting on Twitter and getting a couple of likes for clowning him, you're living your worst life. Total Big E. I didn't see anything wrong with Luck's threads at all. Yours, Randy Travis in a paper suit. Kenneth E. in the 503. I think Andrew Luck looked good. Sign the five people who actually like your turtleneck game. Hey, again, Kenny, neither I nor Andrew give a damn what you think. And in terms of five people who like my turtleneck game, I'm not even sure there's five. There's two that I know of, me and Matt Holliday. And essentially, that's all I care about, what I think and what Matt Holliday thinks. In fact, I'm of mind right now, I think it's time to go T-neck shopping. I need to add some colors. And NoCal Vic is in. Dude's name is Stetson. What's his dad's name? Wrangler? Mudflap? Naming a kid Stetson is too southern, even for old Bayou Brian Kelly.
More importantly, family.
I got a family to feed.
Family.
SA Sports Honk is in.
Family.
Holy crap, Jim. That second half. Georgia ran over Bama like crap through a tin horn. Signed Nick Saban.
They run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man.
They did. They ran through your ass like bleep through a tin horn.
They run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man.
That's a great quote. That's an all-time quote from Nick Saban. Hey, and by the way, for the record, they're favored to win it all next year. Right now, plus 200. Bama, not Georgia. Bama is favored to win it all. So I wouldn't go rushing in to bury this guy. Saban's not going anywhere. If anything, he's going back to work, and he's going to double down. This is, I'm reading these as they're written. Dear Nex. Nex. Not next. Nex. Short for Red Nex. Dear Nex in Georgia. I guess congrats on your championship and all that. Be glad the Tide ended up missing about 20 starters by the end of the game. I know you were all proud of yourselves, etc., but if you go to a football game in shoulder pads and spikes, you are a loser.
Loser.
Stephen S.A. I don't think they much care. I think they're probably way too hungover to care right about now. I think they're probably hungover and still rocking their pads and spikes. See here, Rome. Props to Georgia's QB, Stetson Bennett. I know he was a little emotional, but he's still a badass. Weepingly yours, Jeff in Southfield. Marshall in Orlando. Marshall, you jacked that up in so many different ways. First of all, it's Jeff in San Antonio, not Jeff in Southfield. If you're going to beg for a reset, get it right.
I am definitely a badass. I've got a kid, so I mean, that's proof that I am a badass right there.
It is? If having a kid makes you a badass, then Alvin DeLauro is the baddest mother bleeper who ever lived. But that's a pretty bad take. I'm a badass. Why, dude? Are you a Navy SEAL? No, I have a kid. Oh, okay. I can't believe somebody confused Jeff in San Antonio with Jeff in Southfield. Now, Jeff in Southfield, that's a legitimate badass based on his takes alone. A lot of reaction on social. I like it. Jim, I'm sure that I'm about the 100th clone with this take, but did Ritt take the dive, tripping over his shoelaces, chasing the ice cream truck? Ron in Turlock. You know why they have that music, don't you? It's not to let the kids know that the ice cream man is here. No, that's apparently not how... Well, I'm only going by what he told me. I don't know exactly what happened. I know his story, but it did not involve an ice cream truck. Ryan in Sacktown. Ritt fell in the bathroom at 2 a.m. Not wearing your Depends was a bad choice, old man.
This is not cool.
All right, so one vote for he got wrecked chasing after the ice cream truck. One vote for he fell in the bathroom because he did not wear his Depends. Who else wants in? If you had to guess, how did Ritt get hurt? Because something happened between yesterday's show and today's show, and by something, he looks like he got hit by a tank and dragged or shot or both. You guess. At some point, I'll let him in to explain what happened. And finally, Brian in San Pedro.
Finally.
Hey, Jim, Garrett Ritt is playing hurt because he skidded his diabetic foot on the ground in his adult kickball league.
Diabetes.
All right, so one vote for a diabetic foot that skidded in his adult kickball league. I don't want to say if any of this is right or wrong. I will let him speak for himself, but I am soliciting your guesses. Hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome. How did Garrett get hurt? And I'm actually going to Garrett him today because he's in a lot of pain and he's playing through it. When we return, Andy Staples joins me, Pat Freiermuth, at the top of the hour. So we go back to back. And then we are wide open throughout the middle of the program. Andrew Whitworth, Rams offensive lineman, joins us. Great way to go into the postseason by running him down once again. Amazing matchups this weekend. Bills at home against the Pats. Who you got? First things first here.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, and a tremendous Tuesday to you. I am Jim Rome. We are to the part of the program where we go back to back. Top of hour number two, or in about 20 minutes from right now, Pittsburgh Steelers tight end Pat Freiermuth joins us. But joining me right now to help break down what we saw last night in the championship game, somebody who covers football and on top of that, all barbecue related issues for The Athletic, host of the Andy Staples Show. He, of course, is Andy Staples. Andy, great to have you on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Good barbecue here in San Antonio at the Coach Convention. Just talked to Pat Freiermuth's college coach, James Franklin.
There you go. I like that. So tell me about the good barbecue there. What have you run into of late?
2M Smokehouse. You get the brisket, you get the pork ribs, you get the mac and cheese where they crumble up the chicharrón and and sprinkle it all over, it's heaven.
Man, you can't beat that. All right, so Andy, as you've written, over the years when things have gone well for Georgia, the piano has fallen on their heads at the worst possible moment, time and time again. For those who are familiar with it or not, how would you describe the attitude and the emotions of Georgia fans over the past four decades plus?
I think when Stetson Bennett pulled the Garo Yeprimian and the ball just went backward on him, and the Alabama player didn't even realize he was recovering a fumble on the sideline. I think if you're a Georgia fan, you look at that, it's the fourth quarter of that game, Alabama recovers that fumble, they punch it right in, their first touchdown of the night, they take the lead, you're like, that's it, it's over, can't possibly win this game. Because that is what Georgia has been accustomed to. Every time they get close like that, they get their hearts ripped out. And so the fact that they came back, you know, drove down the field, scored a touchdown, got a three and out, scored another touchdown, and then they get the pick six to end the whole thing. I mean, it had to have felt good, because even after that, the next to last touchdown, it's an 8-point game. And I guarantee you every Georgia fan in that stadium and watching on TV was going, well, you know, they're going to score a touchdown, get the 2-point conversion, and just put a stake in our hearts in overtime. Every one of them was thinking that. I know it. Until they saw that pick six, they didn't relax.
We're talking to Andy Staples. I think you make a great point. Not only that, but not only that, there was this, here we go again. This always happens. It always happens to us. Andy, the point that you made about it being a Garo Yeprimian type of moment, it wasn't just the fumble. It was a really weird fumble. Like, how much worse would that have made it that was the fumble and then the ensuing touchdown after that? If they did go down, how much worse would it have been that they went down like that?
It would have been awful. It would have been something that they would just replay in their minds forever, and that the other fan bases in the SEC would make fun of them about, because they already had second and 26. You know, they had a national title in their hands 4 years ago, and they sacked the quarterback on the first play for a loss of 15 or loss of 16, and then he throws a touchdown pass because you blew a coverage and the game's over. Like, confetti's raining. Like, that was the Georgia football fan experience. And so it would have been, you know, they'd be calling in to 780 the Fan in Atlanta going, and it's 20 years from now, they would have been calling in, yeah, when that's a fumble, I didn't, you know, that Alabama guy, I didn't know he was recovering a fumble. It would have been that for years, decades. And so all of that is gone now.
Andy Staples joining us. You know, it seems to me, Andy, that even Stetson, he even seemed to know that, right? Like, how many times did he say after the game, we were not going to lose because of that, we were not going to lose because of me? It's almost like he knew that this was going to define me and this program. And to your point, people would be calling the local talk show for the next 20, 30, 50 years talking about that moment. So that said, how impressed were you with the way he and the rest of Georgia responded to that fumble after Alabama did take the lead?
I thought it was outstanding, and Stetson Bennett especially. And because he has heard this, he's not immune to. I know the big thing was he's got a flip phone. He's not looking at everything. He's not immune to all of the criticism that, oh, Georgia could win a national title if it weren't for you. Georgia could win a national title if they had a 5-star playing quarterback, but they keep playing you, the former walk-on. Well, that 40-yard touchdown pass to A.D. Mitchell, you're not going to see many better throws than that. And in a huge spot. Think about how big that spot was and how great that throw was. And that's what you get with that kid. He's a good quarterback all year long. You know, he was very efficient, 10 yards per attempt. Like, everybody just looks at him and goes, oh, you were a walk-on. You can't possibly be as good as the former 5-star from USC who's behind you on the bench. Well, if they thought JT Daniels was better, they would have played him. So Stetson was the better quarterback on the team that was the best team in the country all year long. And he showed why in that moment.
Andy Staples joining us. I mentioned it myself at the top. That was an unbelievable throw. Unbelievable throw. So what do you think, Andy, Nick Saban was thinking this morning when he woke up?
I think he is thinking that he took an imperfect team to the national title game, and that was probably one of his better coaching jobs. If you watch Nick all season, he's been a little bit different in terms of how he talked about this team. And you could tell kind of early on that he didn't feel like it was as deep as his Alabama teams usually are, that there were a lot of spots that they felt like were kind of questionable. And so the fact that they got that far with that group, and I realize I'm saying this where they had a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, Will Anderson Jr., who's going to be maybe the number one pick in the 2023 draft, who I think was the best player in the country. But they were not top to bottom loaded the way Alabama usually is. And I actually think this might have been his best coaching job to get them to the national title game.
No, I agree with you. They were not what they normally are. Let me ask you this. It's neither here nor there. So that said, I'll ask anyway. Does the game play out differently if Jameson Williams does not get hurt?
That I asked that when he got hurt. I said, is this going to be the new, does Texas win if Colt McCoy doesn't get hurt question? And I think it will be. I do because, you know, when Alabama was trying to come back and they were struggling and you could see that their receivers just could not get any separation, of course if Jameson Williams had been in there, it would have been easier to come back. It would have been easier to get separation. So I think it would have changed. I don't know if it changed the outcome ultimately, but it would have given Alabama a much better chance to win the game.
Right, I think so, and I think the game changes if guys are not dropping the ball the way they were. Look, when you look at the local talent, Andy, and the facilities and the fan base and more, could you make an argument now that Georgia is, in fact, the best job in the country?
I mean, I started making that argument about 6 years ago. And the reason I did is because Nick Saban told me it probably was. I mean, Nick Saban's the one who's been saying that for years and years and years. He always thought that if the right guy got into Georgia, that it would be game over. And that was the question for Kirby Smart, was can he get them over that hump? And he's done that now. So it is pretty unbelievable. And it's funny because, you know, they do have such great local talent. You mentioned that. But look at last night, you know, Kiwi Ringo making that pick six. He's from Scottsdale, Arizona. Brock Bauer scoring that last touchdown. He's from Napa, California. They're going to go get the best players they can wherever they can find them. And that's what you have to do to win a national title now.
We're talking to Andy Staples. So, Andy, the thinking also had been that to win a national title, the point you just made, that defense no longer is going to get it done. Defense no longer wins championships in college football and that you have to have an elite quarterback to do it. So, seeing what we saw last night, does Georgia's win reverse that thinking or is that just a one-off?
I don't think that's that Georgia's win does that. I think that's been happening in the game for the last couple of years. The clock rules that changed in 2008 that's brought on all the up-tempo offenses. You know, Chip Kelly was the first to really take advantage of them at Oregon, and it revolutionized the game. Defenses have been playing catch-up to that ever since. They've been trying to figure out how to deal with that ever since. And I would say probably in the last two or three years, you've seen defensive coordinators get very comfortable trying to stop some of this stuff, trying to stop the RPOs, and you are seeing a renaissance in defense. I think the Big 12, which we always joked all the games are 65 to 63, the Big 12 has been a pretty good defensive league the last two or three years. The SEC, which had gone kind of the other way and been really high scoring, came back. So I think part of it is defensive schemes have finally adjusted. It just took them a long time to do it.
We're talking to Andy Staples for a few more moments. So, Andy, that's another college football playoff where the semifinal games were not even remotely close. At this point, how big is the gap between Georgia, Alabama, and then everybody else in the college game?
It's pretty big. But now, listen, Ohio State will have the talent every year to be competitive with teams like that. And if the Buckeyes had beaten Michigan, I think there's a good chance they could have been competitive with either of those two teams. But there need to be some more teams that are going to add themselves to the mix. Texas A&M is recruiting in a way that they might be able to do it. LSU is always recruiting in a way that they can do that, even though they've made a coaching change. The key will be, can somebody else from another part of the country do it? And Lincoln Riley going to USC, I think, is where everybody's looking, is can Lincoln Riley at USC build a roster that looks like Georgia's or build a roster that looks like Alabama's? There's a really good chance he can. I mean, he's got access to the talent there, and there's certainly a bunch of guys that want to go play for him. So if USC could do that, you know, Mario Cristobal built a really good roster at Oregon. Dan Lanning, the Georgia defensive coordinator, is about to take that over. He's going to continue trying to build that. Brent Venables at Oklahoma helped build Clemson. He's going to try to do the same thing at Oklahoma. I think there's a chance you could see some more teams that can be competitive with that group.
We are talking to Andy Staples. You mentioned Lincoln. Do you think that Caleb Williams ends up with Lincoln Riley?
I do. I do. And I tried to overthink it when Caleb Williams announced he was going to transfer portal. A true freshman, was the top recruit in the country. You know, comes in, plays as a true freshman at Oklahoma, and then enters the portal when they have the coaching change. I tried to say, oh, okay, he's going to go to a national title contender. He's going to go to a team that's been in the playoffs. and really, at the end of the day, I thought, okay, he signed with Lincoln Riley. Because he's not from Oklahoma. He's from the D.C. area. Signed with Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma because Lincoln Riley develops quarterbacks really well for the NFL. Well, why wouldn't he just want to keep doing that in L.A. versus in Norman, Oklahoma? So I think I overthought it at first, but yet it makes more sense that he would continue on with Lincoln Riley.
He covers college football and, as I mentioned, all barbecue-related issues for The Athletic. Andy, really quickly, so the national championship game is in the books right now. Are you going to take a little bit of time off? Where do you go from here?
Oh, I'm going to let the family go skiing in Park City, and I believe I will find the whiskey distillery there, and I can bide my time there while they get on the slopes, because I fall a lot if I try to ski.
Dude, so, perfect. I love that play.
I sit a lot better than I fall.
That is a perfect play. I love that play. All right, so you do that. Listen, great to have you back on the show. Thank you very much. Have a good time out there on the slopes. Even if you're not on the slopes, find your whiskey. You do you, and it's great to have you back, Andy. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I think that's a great way to go. I like that play. I actually like that play. When we had a house in Montana for the better part of a decade, I would hit the slopes, but there were some days where, I'm not going to lie, it was just as fun not to hit the slopes, but rather to pick up a glass of something and just check it all out. Let the kids hit the slopes. Am I right, Ritt? As he hit the ground last night, something happened to Ritt. I don't know what happened, but he's dragging that back leg. 1-800-636-8686. Yeah, I know, clones. He'll probably find Andrew Luck at the whiskey distillery because he's now a brewmaster right now, or at the microbrewery. Yeah, we've covered this already. When we come back, something much better than your lame, tired, lazy takes. Steelers tight end, Pat Freiermuth. That's going to be our next order of business. That's coming up in less than 10 minutes. Do not go anywhere.